भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today is Advaita Acharya's appearance day, so we'll discuss about Advaita Acharya. Okay, in the meantime, while they're getting the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we will just read through this verse, but this has a long purport. What do you think I should do, Mahārāja? Wait for students. Right, I won't be able to. Okay, in that case I can just read some glorification of Advaita Acharya Prabhu by Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. We used to sing this song in Mayapur. It's a beautiful prayer by Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, known as Sri Advaita Ashtakam. Advaita Ashtakam means the eight prayers glorifying Srila Advaita Acharya. Huhunkara Garjanadi Ahoratra Sadgunam Ha Krishna Radhika Natha Prarthanadi Bhavanam Dhupa Deepa Kasturicha Chandanadi Lepanam Sita Natha Daita Charanarevinda Bhavanam. Day and night, that saintly personality roars and thunders and exhibits other ecstatic symptoms, offering pleasing prayers together with other mantras for worship of the Lord. He calls out, O Krishna, O Lord of Radhika, and smears Sri Shalagram Shila with pulp of sandalwood, musk and other fragrant substances, and offer arati with lamps and incense. Thus, I meditate upon the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita Devi. So, this first verse is describing how Advaita Acharya Prabhu used to roar and thunder and invite Krishna to come. The way he used to pray to Krishna to come down was not some mild appeal. He was actually roaring like a lion with his thundering voice, inviting Krishna to come. He was somehow forcing Krishna to come down. And it is Advaita Acharya who actually brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also mentioned, as it has been described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I was very peacefully lying down in the milk ocean. I was sleeping and lying down very peacefully, but I woke up with the roaring sound of Nara. Nara is another name of Advaita Acharya. Nara means shaven-headed person. It seems that those days there were not so many Vaishnavas. So there were not so many shaved-head people around Navadvip. And Advaita Acharya was one of the rare Vaishnavas who used to have shaved head. Therefore, he was popularly known as, many people used to call him as Nara or Nara. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also affectionately used to call Advaita Acharya as Nara. So Mahaprabhu said that I was very peacefully lying down in the causal ocean, in the milk ocean. Shutiya achinu ami shirod shagore. But the hunkar, jagiya uthinu ami narar hunkare. Hunkar means very loud roar. So Advaita Acharya woke up, and Advaita Acharya made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to wake up. Krishna, Kshiradakshayi Vishnu, was made to wake up and calm down. But here we can see another aspect, that he was actually, this personality that he called is not just Mahavishnu or Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. Chaitanya Advaita Acharya actually brought Sri Radha and Krishna of Vrindavan, or Radhikanath Krishna of Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking it very humbly, as if he was the Jugavatar, the expansion of Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. But actually the personality who Advaita Acharya brought is Sri Krishna of Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna of Vrindavan, Swarup, Swayamrup Krishna, who is the Lord of Srimati Radharani. Ha Krishna Radhikanath. Radhikanath, it has been emphatically pointed out that this Krishna is the Nath or the Lord of Srimati Radharani. And not only the Radhanath Krishna has come, actually Krishna came along with Srimati Radharani in one identity, in one form. Radha and Krishna, Radha Bhavod Duti Shubalitam Naumi Krishna Swarupam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna with the mood and with the complexion of Srimati Radha. Actually, Advaita Acharya himself admitted that no one else but Krishna actually could save the world in this age of Kali. He was so interested, or he was so eager to bring Krishna down, because he saw that none other than Krishna can actually save this world, because the world became so degraded at that time. And also we can see that who is Advaita Acharya? That we'll discuss in Chaitanya Charita, from Chaitanya Charitamrita afterward. Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu himself. So obviously Mahavishnu was not asking Kshiradakshaya Vishnu to come to save the situation. Mahavishnu was asking someone who is higher than him, or actually Mahavishnu and Krishna are non-different, but the activity-wise, pastimes-wise, Krishna is more magnanimous than Mahavishnu. Therefore, only Krishna could save the situation. Mahavishnu could not. He could have killed all the demons. Mahavishnu, Advaita Acharya, could have killed all the demons. But killing the demons wouldn't have solved the problem, because the age of Kali is meant for the demons. So there had to be some special arrangement whereby the demons can be saved, not annihilated. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to come. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually delivered even the demons. Ganga Bari Monohari. This verse is describing how Advaita Acharya was calling Krishna. Ganga Bari Monohari Tulashadi Manjari Krishna Gana Shada Dhyana Premobari Jhadjari Kripabdhi Koruna Natha Bhobishyati Prarthanam Shita Natha Daito Charo Narurindo Bhavanam. O merciful Lord Shalagram, please accept my prayer. This water of the Ganges is charmingly ornamented by tulasi leaves, manjaris, and so on, may it fall on you in splashing cascades of the water of Krishna prema, as I constantly meditate and sing songs of Sri Krishna. Thus do I meditate upon the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita Devi. How was Advaita Acharya praying to Krishna to come down? He was praying by offering Ganga and Tulasi. Ganga water and Tulasi Manjari on his Shalagram Shila. And the Shalagram is actually non-different from Krishna himself. So thus he was praying, he showed that if we sincerely pray to Krishna with just some water, Ganga water and Tulasi leaf, then Krishna will listen. Krishna will listen to our prayers. Gangavari Manohari Tulashadi Manjari Krishna Gano Sadadhyana Premovari Jharjhari Kripabdhi Koruna Natha Bhobishyati Prarthana. Please, I am praying to you that please descend, please appear. And this also shows the truth behind Krishna's statement of Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Jome Bhakta Prajachati. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that if somebody offers me with devotion some leaves, some flowers, some fruits, and some water, then I'll accept it. Krishna doesn't need a very elaborate arrangement for worship. Krishna simply wants our sincere love for him. It is the love that Krishna accepts. And the paraphernalia that are offered through love, that Krishna accepts. Now somebody may say, well, then we can offer only our love to Krishna. No. Love must be expressed through some offering, through some gestures. Like, how do we know that someone loves us? If somebody gives us some sweet words, but doesn't want to do anything for us, or doesn't give us anything, then we will, should we think that he loves? No. Love must be expressed through some action. And that action is also mixed with paraphernalia, the ingredients of our offering. But Krishna is saying that what you are offering, that is not important. It can be just some water, it can be just some leaves, it can be just some fruits and flowers. But even if some little bit of Ganga water or Tulasi Manjari is offered to me with love, then I'll take it, I'll accept it. That's what Krishna mentioned, and also Advaita Acharya has proved it here. Muhur muhu Krishna Krishna Uchchaishare Gayatam Ohe Natho Jagatrato Mamodrishti Gocharam Dibhujo Koruna Natho Diyatam Sudarshanam Sita Natha Dvaita Charanaro Vindo Bhavanam. Again and again, he loudly sings the name of Krishna, calling, O Preserver of the Universe, O Merciful Lord, in your two armed form, kindly award your beautiful vision within my sight. Thus do I meditate upon the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita. So this is another proof that Advaita Acharya was not asking Kshiradakshay Vishnu or even Mahavishnu or even Vaikunthadhipati Narayan to come down. He was asking Krishna to come down. Therefore he is saying, Dibhuja Koruna Natha Diyatam Sudarshanam. Dibhuja, please manifest your two-armed form. And this is a proof also that the two-armed form of the Lord is the highest. As Srila Prabhupada pointed out in his purports of Bhagavad Gita. Generally, materialistic people, the mundaners or less intelligent people, think that the universal form is the highest. They think that the four-armed form is greater than two-armed form. And then ultimately when Krishna showed his universal form in the 11th canto, that is the highest. But actually it's just the other way around. It's completely other way. It's just the opposite. The universal form is as Prabhupada pointed out, is actually the material manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that form is temporary, is not eternal. Because universal form of the Lord is relative to material creation. So when there is no material creation, that form also is withdrawn by the Lord. Here we can see that the difference of perception between a materialist and a devotee, or the difference between material perception and spiritual perception, is just diametrically opposite. What the materialist considers to be the greatest, according to the spiritual perception, that is the lowest. Although in the spiritual plane, it's all absolute, but still there is some relative consideration, even in spite of the absolute nature. So Krishna's universal form is not the highest. That is actually relative to the material nature. The higher than that is his four-armed form. And even higher than the highest of that is his two-armed form. Therefore, when Krishna showed his universal form, then what did Arjuna say? That I don't want to see this form. Please reveal, show me your original two-armed form. But what did Krishna do? Then Krishna first manifested himself in his four-armed form. And then he presented his two-armed form. So that way it was, Krishna showed that next to his universal form is his Vaikuntha form, four-armed form. And then his two-armed form. So this way we can see that Advaita Acharya was not asking Kshirodakshaya Vishnu to come down. He was not asking Mahavishnu to come down. He was actually asking the two-armed Brajendra Nandan, Radhika Nath, to come down. And that's what, and that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. So, calling out, O preserver of the universe, O merciful Lord of the, O merciful Lord, in your two-armed form, kindly award your beautiful vision within my sight. Adri, today is Advaita Acharya's appearance day, so we are discussing about Advaita Acharya. Shri Advaita Prarthanartha Jagannatha Alayam Shochi Matur Garbhajato Chaitanya Karunamayam Shriyadvaita Sangaranga Kirtano Vilashanam Sitanatha Dvaita Charo Narobindo Bhavanam. O Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you took birth from the womb of Mother Sachi in the home of Jagannath Mishra because of the prayers of Sri Advaita, and you dance in association of Sri Advaita in your pastimes of congregational chanting. Thus do I meditate upon the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared because of Sri Advaita Acharya's prayer. And how did he appear? He appeared in his Swayam Roop. Therefore, the prayer goes like, Swayam Roopa Kada Maiham Dadati Sa Padantikam. Rupa Goswami is praying that Swayam Rupa, when will that original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna of Vrindavan, will give me the shelter of his lotus feet? So in this way we can see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Sri Brajendra Nandan Krishna himself. And not only Brajendra Nandan Krishna himself, but he came along with Srimati Radharani. Radha and Krishna together has appeared. There are so many statements concerning that. Radha bhavodduti shubalitam naomi Krishna sharupam. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has appeared with Srimati Radharani. Bhav, bhav means inner sentiment. The sentiment or deep, deep sentiment of the heart. And what is the bhav of Srimati Radharani? The bhava of Srimati Radharani is love of Krishna. In the depth of Srimati Radharani's heart, there is nothing but deep love for Krishna. And Radharani's bhav is not just bhav. Radharani is Mahabhav Sarupini. The personification of Mahabhav is Srimati Radharani. So with that bhav, with that Mahabhav, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna has appeared. So internally he has the Mahabhav, the inner mood of Srimati Radharani, of deep devotion to Krishna, the highest devotion to Krishna. And externally, he has the complexion of Srimati Radharani. So Radha Bhavad Duti Shubalitam Naomi Krishna Sarupa. There is also one song that says Radha Krishna Ek Tanu Hai. Radha and Krishna has become one, and that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And why did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come? To sing and dance with devotees like Advaita Acharya. And by doing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the world and made arrangements to deliver the world throughout the age of Kali. Actually, in this age of Kali, Sankirtan is the only way for deliverance. There is no other way, no other way, no other way. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the beginning of the age of Kali, Kali Shandha, there are three sandhas. One is when the day begins. Then when the sun is in the middle. And when the day ends and night begins. So these three junctions are called sandha. The word is coming from the word sandhi. Sandhi means union, meeting. So these three junctions are the three sandhas. So in the beginning of the age of Kali, in the pratham sandhai, the first sandha, that means when the Dwapar Yug just ended and Kali Yug just began, at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And he made arrangements, he gave the process to deliver the living entities throughout the age of Kali. And that is his congregational chanting. And how is the congregational chanting performed? With the associates of Sri, like Advaita Acharya. And wherever the Sankirtan is, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the assurance that he will be there. Mahaprabhu said that he would be in four different places. Where Nityananda Prabhu dances, where Raghav Pandit, in the house of Raghav Pandit, in the house of Sachimata, and in Sankirtan. So in this way, wherever there is Sankirtan, we must understand, although we cannot see, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present there. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present, all inauspiciousness will disappear from there. Addaito charanaro bindo jnana dhyana bhavanam sadaddaito pado padma renu rashi dharanam dehi bhaktim jagannatho Rakshamam Abhajanam Shita Natha Daito Charu Narubindo Bhavanam. O Lord, give me devotional service and protect me, though I am not a deserving recipient of that protection. Let my mood be to meditate upon the knowledge of Sri Advaita's lotus feet and to always hold tight to the hips of his lotus dust. Thus do I meditate upon the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita. So, in this way, Advaita Acharya used to actually pray, "O Lord, give me devotional service and protect me, though I am not a deserving recipient of that protection." Dehi Bhaktin Jagannath. Jagannath is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord of the universe. And Advaita Acharya is praying, "Please, my Lord, give me devotional service." So wonderful, we can see that the Lord and His expansions have appeared as the devotees, and they are teaching us how to become a devotee. So Advaita Acharya, who is Mahavishnu himself, is praying, "Dehi Bhaktin Jagannath. Oh, the Lord of the universe, please allow me to develop devotion unto your lotus feet. And please allow me to cling on to the heaps of dust of your lotus feet. Let me cling on to the dust of your lotus feet." And dust of the lotus feet means the devotees of the Lord. So when we become attached to the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord, it actually means that we become attached to the devotees of the Lord. Because in the spiritual sky, everything is spiritual, everything is conscious. In the spiritual sky, unlike the material nature, even the dust are living entities. And who are those living entities? The dust in the spiritual sky, they're the devotees of the Lord, clinging on to the lotus feet of the Lord. The bumblebees are flying around the lotus-like feet of the Lord. Who are those bumblebees? Are the devotees. The grass there are just waiting to have the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord and His devotees, the gopis. And who are those? Blade of grass? Or who are those grass? Devotees. And what kind of devotees? What kind of devotees are actually aspiring to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan? Devotees like Uddhava, who is considered to be the greatest devotee in Dwarka. Uddhava is the closest, most intimate associate of Krishna in Dwarka. Uddhava is always with Krishna. And Krishna is always revealing his heart to Uddhava. It has been described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Uddhava comes to Krishna's palace before Krishna wakes up. And he stays with Krishna throughout the day, every moment. And then at night when Krishna falls asleep, then Uddhava goes back to his palace. So in this way, Uddhava is attached to Krishna. And when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, then when he saw the love of the gopis for Krishna, then what did Uddhava desire to become? Uddhava just wanted to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan. Vrindavane kimapi taroshadhi nam. What's the first line? It's from Srimad Bhagavatam. Asha moho charuna renu jusham. Jusham ahamsham. That asha moho, all I want is to become Vrindavane taro oshodhi nam. Taro means the trees and oshodhi means creepers. So Uddhava, after seeing the devotees of Vrindavan, is desiring to become a tree or a creeper or a blade of grass in Vrindavan. And actually Sanatana Goswami gave a very nice commentary to that. Like, when Uddhava wanted that, the question was, and where did Uddhava want it to be? In the forest of Vrindavan. somewhere in the forest of Vrindavan. So the question is that if he wanted to have the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees of Krishna, then he should have actually been on the road, because that's where the devotees walk. But Sanatana Goswami is explaining that actually when the devotees of Vrindavan hear Krishna's flute, they become so mad that they lose their consciousness completely. And at that time they just run to meet Krishna, and at that time they don't have any awareness of where the road is. So the chances of getting the dust of their lotus feet is better when they're away from the road. So that's why Uddhava actually wanted to become a blade of grass. The point is that in Vrindavan everything, in the spiritual sky, everything is conscious, is living entity, is a devotee. Not only the associates of Krishna in the form of his friends or his father or mother are his devotees. Even the animals of Vrindavan are devotees. Even the birds are devotees. Even the insects are devotees. The trees and plants and the grass are also devotees. The water of Jamuna is devotee. So everything there is devotee. And that is the wonderful, the most wonderful aspect of the spiritual sky. And not only Vrindavan, there is no difference between Vrindavan and Mayapur. So in Mayapur also, we have to understand, the Mayapur also, everything is a devotee. But when our vision is material, then we will only see the material. It will appear to us to be material or inert. But when we develop our spiritual vision, then we will see that in Mayapur, everything is spiritual. Addapiho nitya lila kore gaura rai kono kono bhagyobane dekhibare pai. Still today, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are going on, but only some fortunate ones can see that. And who are the fortunate ones? The fortunate ones are those whose eyes have, whose spiritual vision has developed due to their development of their spiritual identity. So more we develop our spiritual vision, the more we become spiritually advanced, the more we will see how everything in Mayapur is spiritual, how everything in Vrindavan is spiritual. Then the question may arise, then what about the rickshawalas in Mayapur? The answer is, well, we have to see that even the rickshawalas in Mayapur are spiritual. We cannot understand how they are spiritual, but when our vision develops, when our vision becomes spiritualized, then we will see. And also Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in relation to Vrindavan, say that Vrindavan has an outer manifestation, which is actually acting as a kind of a covering. So with our material vision we will only see that covering, but when we develop our spiritual vision, then we will penetrate through the covering and we will be able to see the spiritual reality, the spiritual manifest, the spiritual realm. And one way to see that also is that it has been, Prabhupada actually mentioned that in Vrindavan, the pigs and dogs are actually the fallen devotees. When someone commits sinful activities in Vrindavan, when someone goes to Vrindavan, and instead of performing devotional service, commit sinful activities, then they get, not just anyone and everyone, the devotees, when they indulge in sinful activities in Vrindavan, then they get the body of a pig or a dog and in Vrindavan. And after that, they in that body, they purify themselves. They get a chance to purify themselves. And then they get a chance to either go back to Godhead or get a chance to become fixed up in devotional service and then go back to Godhead. So a person with a spiritual vision will see he won't see the hogs and dogs, but he will see some fallen devotees. Because of his fall down, he's suffering like that. And it is Krishna's arrangement to purify him. Similarly, he will see that people, those who are indulging in mundane activities, so in the dham, they are actually some such soul who are in the dham, but because they are in the dham, they'll get the benefit. And for the time being, they are indulging in mundane activities, and as a result of that, as a consequence of that, they will be treated accordingly. Jai Shri Shri Radha Govinda Shriman Mahaprabhu Ki. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki. Sarvadato Sita Natho Praneshwaro Sadgunam Je Japanti Sita Natho Pado Padma Kevalam Diyatam Koruna Natho Bhakti Yoga Tatkshanam Sitanatha Daito Charan Narabinda Bhavanam. O all bestowing Lord of Sita. Why Advaita Acharya has been addressed as Lord of Sita? Because Advaita Acharya's wife's name is Sita Devi. Therefore another name of Advaita Acharya is Sitanath, the Lord of Sita Devi. O all bestowing Lord of Sita, Lord of my life, may you bestow mercy on those who meditate exclusively on your lotus feet, and may you bestow an opportunity to engage in devotional service to yourself. Thus do I meditate on the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita. Thus do I meditate on the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita. So who wrote this Ashtakam? Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is praying that please allow me to become attached to your lotus feet, O Advaita Acharya Prabhu, who is my life and soul. Sri Chaitanya Jayadvaita Nityananda Korunamayam Eko Ango Tridhamurti Koisharadi Sadavaram Jivatrana Bhakti Jnana Hunkaradi Garjanam Sita Natha Daito Charo Narabinda Bhavana. All glory to Sri Advaita Acharya, who together with Sri Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda comprise one merciful person with a threefold form, which is divided into the various ages of adolescence and so on, and is always endowed with super excellent qualities. So Eko Ango Tridha Murti. The one personality now has manifested in three forms. And what are those three forms? Advaita, Nityananda and Chaitanya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu is one personality. Who is that personality? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is manifesting three different forms like adolescent. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his childhood pastimes when Advaita Acharya was actually quite old. But although Advaita Acharya was old, he was not, his appearance was not old. Like we can see in Panchatattva that there, his Advaita Acharya was not never old. Especially when you go to Shantipur in Advaita Acharya's house. In the house we see the deity of Advaita Acharya. It's an eternally youthful form. Dina hina nindakadi premo bhakti dayakam সর্বদাত সীতানাথ শান্তিপুর নায়কম রাগ রঙ্গ সঙ্গ দোষ কর্মযোগ মোক্ষনম সীতানাথ দ্বৈত চর নারবিন্দ ভাবনম। হি বিস্তোজ লাভিং ডিভোশনাল সার্ভিস টু দ্য লোলি দ্য ডেস্টিচুড দ্য ব্লাসফিমার্স অ্যান্ড অ্যাজ ওয়েল অ্যাজ আদার্স অ্যান্ড বিস্তোজ অল নেসেসিটিজ অপন দেম। দ্য লর্ড অফ সীতা ইজ দ্য লিডার অফ দ্য পিপল অফ শান্তিপুর and frees one from attachment to the practices of karma and yoga, from bad association and passionate pleasures. And passionate pleasures, thus do I meditate upon the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita. Dina hina nindakadi premo bhakti dayakam. Dina means very fallen ones. Hina means very poor. And Nindakadi, those who are blasphemers. So Sri Chaitanya Advaita Acharya actually bestows Krishna prema to all these fallen people. And karma yoga mokshanam. He delivers one from the attachment of karma kanda and bondage of karma and yoga, those who try to attain perfection through other kinds of practices like yoga, jnana, etc. Ashtanga yoga, jnana yoga, karma yoga, etc. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya, Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu is very mercifully giving Krishna prema to everyone. Loving devotional service to everyone. So, thus do I meditate upon the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita. So I'll just briefly read from Chaitanya Charitamrita about Advaita Acharya's tattva. মহাবিষ্ণু জগৎকর্তা মায়ায়া য সৃজত্তদ তস্যাবতার এবায়ম অদ্বৈতাচার্য ঈশ্বর। মহাবিষ্ণুর জগৎকর্তা, মহাবিষ্ণু হু ইজ দ্য লর্ড অফ দ্য এন্টায়ার মেটেরিয়াল ক্রিয়েশন। মহাবিষ্ণু ইজ অ্যাকচুয়ালি দ্য কজ অফ দ্য এন্টায়ার মেটেরিয়াল ক্রিয়েশন। How does the material creation become manifest? Mahavishnu or Karanadakshay Vishnu lies in the causal ocean. And as he breathes, like each bubble that is produced is an universe. Each bubble that is produced due to the breathing of Mahavishnu in the causal ocean, each bubble is each universe. And then he enters in each universe as Garbhadakshay Vishnu and fills up half of the universe with water from his body. Therefore it's called Sheda body, sweat, water. And so Mahavishnu is the Jagatkarta. Jagatkarta means the Lord of the universe. Mayaya ja Srijattada, who creates this universe with his Maya, with his potency. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the action of Maya. Advaitam Harinadvaita Charjam Bhakti Shamshanat Bhaktavataram Isham Tamadvaita Charjam Ashraye. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. So why he is Advaita Acharya? Because he is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's why he is Advaita. Advaita means non-different or non-dual. Or Dvaita means duality, or two. And Advaita means non-dual. Because he is the giver of devotion. He propagates devotion, the cult of devotion. Therefore he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of Lord's devotees. Bhaktavataram, bhaktam isham. Isham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has become a devotee. The avatar, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu, has become a devotee. Therefore that panchatattva is panchatattat makam krishnam bhaktarupa sarupakam bhaktavataram bhaktaktham namami bhaktashu. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhakta Swarup is Nityananda Prabhu. Bhakta Avatar is Advaita Prabhu. Bhakta Shakti is Gadadhara. And Bhakta is Shivashana. So Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhara, Shivashadi, both. So that's the next verse. Panchatattat makam krishna bhakta rupa swarupakam bhaktavataram bhaktyaktham namami bhaktashu. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is non-different from his teacher as a devotee, devotional incarnation, devotional manifestation, pure devotee and devotional energy. Srila Advaita Acharya Prabhu Thi Bol Premanande. Does anybody have any comments, Maharaj? Adrian? You know, like, the main thing is the scriptural evidence, right? The scripture is actually admitting. Chaitanya Charitamrita is a scripture, right? They are the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are seeing with what is the scripture? The scripture is the perception of the pure devotees. So, pure devotee like Sanatana Goswami, he perceived and that's how he recognized Sri Srila Advaita Acharya. Actually, it's not that Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami just all of a sudden got the vision and started writing. He had the understanding from the Acharyas like Goswami. So, the Goswamis say, when the Goswamis say also, and that is also the scripture and that is the evidence. You see, the problem with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation is that it is his channa palo. He came covering his identity. Even to recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is difficult in this case, you know, because of his incarnation. What to speak of his associates. But when you go into the activities and pastimes, we can see from the pastimes it becomes evident. For example, I'll take it with Nityananda Prabhu, you know, to give an example. You see, in the scriptures you don't actually find, besides, you know, like pro-Chaitanya Mahaprabhu scriptures,
after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the scripture that has been written, then Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance has been established in other scriptures like Mahabharata and Purana. But Nityananda Prabhu, when you look at his pastime as a child, Nityananda Prabhu all in the role of Balaram. As a child, they used to organize and he used to play Lakshman. And one time, when he was playing the role of Lakshman in Ramchandra's pastime, when there was a fight between Lakshman and Meghna, there was a saying that Lakshman was scared and he fainted. And Nityananda Prabhu fainted in such a way that, you know, like everyone thought that he died. Now he was playing, he was enacting in a way that it became real. Right? And from his childhood, you know, like he had been, you know, depicting the roles pertaining to Balaram and his infant. And main thing is, you know, like with the other scriptures, because their identity is covered, scriptures being revealed, then everybody will recognize it. So the mission will be lost. Therefore, that was not exposed. Like Advaita Acharya, and so we have to recognize their identity from their later activities. And I also, yeah, if you want a proof, not that you want a proof, but you know, if it's a matter of getting the proof, like Advaita Acharya, the way he brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
This is the recording of some followers.
Recording of some
followers.
But what about their activities? Well, even the Puranas are the recording of the followers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is the followers, it is the... There is a difference. Like, okay, except that Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, tattva hasn't been revealed in the scriptures. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tattva has been revealed. Right?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the
yes, that is a point. Like, why Advaita Acharya is painted as an old man in the picture? In some of the pictures, Advaita Acharya is painted as old person.
The beard.
So the beard is no problem, but you know sometimes it's showed as.
Huh?
What?
Prabhupada said that all the policies are our shape.
Right. But that beard also he didn't keep all the time. Maybe sometimes he kept the beard. Because you see, Mahaprabhu used to call him Nara, means shaved head. Right. And the deity of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur, you know, is shaved head. So sometimes, you know, he may have kept beard. Right, that's what I was... No, I was actually telling that those days, so few devotees were there. You see, that's why Advaita Acharya was Adhikaracharya stood out. I'm saying before Mahaprabhu's appearance. So that's why he had a common name actually. People used to call him Nara. Nara means, you know, shaved head. That was not just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the name. I mean, he had the name, but affectionately Mahaprabhu also used to call him by that name. Yeah, so actually in the painting, they shouldn't paint him as with white beard. Because his form is becoming.
So what beard is that?
Blackish.
Huh?
Blackish.
Blackish. Beard is there.
Beard can be there. Like sometimes you also see that that Adhikaracharya's deity is without beard. Not that always has to have the beard. He's old, he's elderly. He's elderly in the sense by age. Like Srivast Thakur is also of same age as Jagannath Mishra and Adhikaracharya. Maybe little younger, but much older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we see him as in Panchatattva as a young person, you know. So the understanding is that this personality is her, you know, like and we can see among the devotees also. They don't show their age, right? Like they look always so young and blissful. I mean so effulgent.
Why was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
Yes. That is to prove that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none different from Radha Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Omni. Therefore in the altar, when we have, in the same altar when we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To indicate that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Radha Krishna. But in an altar where there is a Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu together, in that altar you don't find Radha. That is the accessibility. Because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is with Nityananda Prabhu, then it's a different mood. Then that is Krishna Balaram. And Krishna Balaram won't be together with Radha.
Occurred
to me that Hawaii, Prabhupada, saw the deities. Hawaii is a charya with the white beard. And he's making a comment.
Absolutely.
And all the pictures, you know, I think Lord Chaitanya also the picture of Hawaii. I was actually thinking of that, you know, that actually the color of the hair doesn't really matter. Like, I was actually thinking, you know, like, you're getting gray hair. So, right. But your face looks so young.
Jai Shri Shri Radha Govindam Shriman Mahaprabhu Ki. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadrama Ki.
Like that's one thing also, that the color of the hair or beard do not really affect their face. You know, face is always youthful with the devotees. Like, for example, in you get the description of Nanda Maharaj. Yeah? Like, he has got, you know, whitish, or even better is Ugrasen, right? I mean, he has flowing white hair, right, and beard. But, you know, his face has been described as youthful, right? Purnamashi, Yogamaya, she has, you know, white hair. But you know, her face is, you know, like a young girl. Like we can see Prabhupada's face was always so young. Looked always so young. And his body also, like, I mean, his body looked like a young boy's body. There's no wrinkles. Yes. Actually, on the other hand, Prabhupada's body was shining, you remember? In Vrindavan last day, like, shining like gold. Yeah, sure. Okay, Haribol. Jai Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande, Srila Advaita Acharya Prabhu Ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Gaur Premanande. Brahma Sampradaya, the personality who revived Brahma Sampradaya in this age is Madhvacharya. The one who revived Sri Sampradaya, the Acharya, is Ramanujacharya. And the one who revived Rudra Sampradaya is Vishnu Swami, and Kumar Sampradaya, Nimbarkacharya. So these four Acharyas are considered to be Sampradaya Acharyas. Like original Sampradaya Acharyas are Brahma, Lakshmi, Mahadev, Rudra, Kumara. But in the recent ages, these four personalities actually revived. And in a similar way, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching was lost due to the influence of Ayurveda, Srila Prabhupada actually revived. And not only he revived, but he established a kind of a society, right? And in that society, he is the founder. And this founder position of founder Acharya is that his position will always be the most deep, most prominent position in this line. I mean, say, when you speak of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada will always have an exclusive position. And last year we actually did that. We established Srila Prabhupada's position in the founder. And the things that, you know, GDC body defined about Prabhupada's position is that Prabhupada will always be the preeminent Shiksha Guru of all the devotees of ISKCON. For all time. As long as ISKCON is there, and whoever joins ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada will be the preeminent Shiksha Guru. Srila Prabhupada's books will be the standard books, standard Shastras. Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam will be read for the Bhagavatam. So not only for 10, 20 years, or 100, 200 years, but for thousands of years to come. Now this is how actually Prabhupada will be worshipped in everything, every day. As the Guru Puja for all time in ISKCON will be Prabhupada's day. So this is how we can see that Srila Prabhupada has a very, very special position for all time in ISKCON. Now to mention a few more things is that whoever joins this cult, he may come from other sampradayas, but if he accepts Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's teachers, then he is prepared to teach Srila Prabhupada's teachers, he will be accepted as a member. So in this way we can see that, you know, like with Srila Prabhupada in the center, we all are actually part and parcel of
it.
And also, this also brings in another point. Because in ISKCON, actually two factors are very, very important. One is Srila Prabhupada's position as the founder Acharya and the GDC body. Right? See, if you get, if you remove Srila Prabhupada from the position of founder Acharya, you know, ISKCON will not have it. Meaning. Similarly, if you take the GBCs away, then also, you know, ISKCON will fall apart just as Gaudiya Math fell apart. Right? And we have seen, you know, like how this GBC concept actually saved ISKCON. Like, you know, in Gaudiya Math, one Acharya fell down and the whole structure collapsed. In ISKCON, 6 out of 11 Acharyas fell down. But still don't stop. And in ISKCON, the GBC is the executor of Prabhupada's will. So this is how they are interrelated. Prabhupada's position and the Jivisi Gospel. Prabhupada's teaching, or Prabhupada's will, what Prabhupada actually wanted, that will be established, or that will be implemented or executed by the Jivisi Gospel. The Jivisi's responsibility is to execute to the Prabhupada's will. So one without the other will not function. Is there any other question? Yeah. Yeah, also you see Vaishnava's statements often have two meanings. So one side is he is being very humble. He is so humble, and that's why in a humble way he is stating that. But Saraswati, why a Vaishnava's words have two meanings? Because Saraswati, sitting in the tongue of Vaishnava, reveals the real meaning. And what is the real meaning? The real meaning is, whoever takes the name of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, his material life will be changed. Bhaktipal?
City of God.
City of God. Well, is it happening? When? No, when did you meet? When?
6 weeks.
6 weeks ago. And what did he say? Okay. It's a good idea. It was a good idea. But then again, you know, like, why try to do something separate from Srila Prabhupada? You know, Prabhupada has already established so many cities. And actually the whole world will become the world of God, you know, by Prabhupada. But when we separate, isolate ourselves from Prabhupada and try to do something, then what happens? Like not only we do not become successful, but our spiritual life becomes. Like, anyway, for your information, since you asked me, I don't want to get into that. But since you asked me, you know, I think it's my duty to provide you the right information. You see, Kirtananda Swami's main stronghold, main center was New Vrindavan. Now the New Vrindavan devotees have rejected him. So he doesn't actually have any standing. He has only some blind followers, 3 or 4 are with him. He had a lot of money, he had a few million dollars in Singapore or Malaysia, in Singapore. And the person who had the money, he ran away with the money. So, I mean, that's the situation today. So where is the city of God going to come up? New Vrindavan is gone. He wanted to build the city of God in New Vrindavan. But New Vrindavan devotees have rejected him. And they have come back to his country. Yeah. It's a matter of timing. Because, you see, they have some legal implications. That's why ISKCON also is not too eager to get them back. Because if we invite New Vrindavan back, then we'll be implicated with those legal issues. So let the legal implications first sort it out. Because they have so many court cases that New Vrindavan is involved because of people. Murder cases, cheating cases. So that's why, but the devotees, they are bad. How they're bad? You see, they started two things there. They actually started a new way of worshipping. They are not wearing this. They're wearing robes because we thought that this is Bengali. And, you know, like people won't accept them if they're wearing this dress. So the chances are better if they wear robes. People will be able to identify themselves better. They were not chanting Sankara Dhavan Alali Loka in the morning or Guru Vashtar. Or Guru Sri Guru Charanapada. But they were singing English songs. And he was giving sannas, but he was giving them English names. Like Bliss Swami. Ecstasy Swami. Like all kinds of, you know, English names he was giving. And anyway, so what happened is, last year around this time, yeah, exactly around this time, just 2 days after, 27th December. Oh, this is January, right, about a month ago. 27th of January, 27th of December, Radhana Swami, who was Kirtananda's right hand man, who actually left Kirtananda. He just left New Delhi. Because, anyway, that's another complication. I don't want to get into that. And so Radhana Swami was, I got the news that he was in Bombay. And I was in Bombay at that time. So I met with him. I went to the temple. And we had a very nice meeting. He told me everything what happened. And then I invited him to come to my place. And I went back to my place. So they, about 250 of them came to my place. And then, you see, after that, I mean, their stay in Mayapur and the Parikrama, Navati Parikrama, had such a wonderful effect in them that when some of them went back to New Vrindavan, actually this 250, 200 were from Bombay, and 50, about 40 were from New Vrindavan. And you remember Nityadita Swami? Nityadita used to be Kirtananda's servant at that time, and he became a servant. So he is, you know, very fired up. He's young, very enthusiastic. So that he had the group of brahmacharis, of about 10 brahmacharis with him, 10 or 12 brahmacharis at that time. So when they went back to New Vrindavan, they said that, we are just going to go ahead with this. We'll do things in a Prabhupada way. Like the Mangal Arati, Purvashtakam, and, you know, just back to Prabhupada, and, you know, wearing dhoti and everything. So, and there was about to be a big hunt, a big fight. And, you know, like, it could have been pretty bad. Like, so then, some of them got together and decided that let's have two programs go on. And the temple room will be shared by these two groups. Like, those who want to follow Prabhupada's style, they have the temple from 4:30 to 6:30. No, 4:30 to 6:30. And by the time they'll do everything, you know, like Mangalarati, Bhagavatam class, Guru Puja, And then 6:30 the other group will take over. And the robe and the kitan and the right. And the other group got the time to sleep. So this is how they actually established tea. And but then, you know, gradually, slowly, they get. Actually, there was again another, any medicine just telling, you know, this actually, in one way I feel bad, you know, to speak bad about, you know, somebody else. But at the same time, I think it's educational, you know, for us to know, for you can learn, you know, our mistakes. So, you know, Radha Swami is a very close friend of mine, and so is Vasana. So they both were inviting me to go to meet. So I decided to go last summer when I was there. And I asked Jayadeva Maharaj also to come. And then Dhanudhar Maharaj, he was in New York when Jayadeva Maharaj was about to come to New Zealand. I was flying from the West Coast to New Zealand. So Jayadeva Maharaj was going from New York. So Dhanudhar Maharaj was there, so he also joined. Jayadeva Maharaj. And then Radhanath Maharaj and Varsana Swami also came. So we all came in there at the time. And we had a fabulous time, you know, like, you know, every night we were having darshan in Prabhupada's palace. And it was going on till 11 o'clock, 11:30, you know, because it was so, you know, like, devotees are so fired up. You know? And to give you an idea, you know, like how it was like, and after that, we have to go and have some feast in somebody's house. Like different days, different house, you know, in New Vrindavan there are many householders. So different householders were organizing feast, right? So the feast was supposed to be, you know, like after the darshan in the Prabhupada palace. And then, you know, like the thing would go on till 11 o'clock, 11:30, so we would end up with a feast to live. So, anyway, so, you know, after we are there, anyway, I mean, so, you know, like, it was such a, you know, like, such a beautiful time, and in New Vrindavan, the atmosphere was very down. Because, you know, they had so many, you know, problems. Like, the devotees were very, very depressed. But those few days, you know, they had such a wonderful, you know, festive time that, you know, like, as I said, like, there are two groups, like, Prabhupada group and non-Prabhupada group. So naturally, Prabhupada's group was very ecstatic, you know, during that time. But the non-Prabhupada group also started to see that. And so Kirtananda at that time realized that he lost it. He was losing his Prabhupada. So he tried to make a strategical move. And in the strategical move, he mentioned that he had he wrote a letter to Radhanath Swami and Bhakti Krishna, saying that he had a dream, and in that dream Prabhupada told him that he made a mistake. And Prabhupada told him that he should actually accept Radhanath Swami and Vasudeva Swami has his right hand and left hand, and they should work together. So, anyway, so this was in writing, and he admitted that he made a mistake. So then, you know, and he had a dream. In the dream, he said the Prabhupada told him to listen to them. So when he went and Prabhupada said that they should fast, he should fast for 20 days or something. And he should do it with his devotees around. With Radhana Swami and Vasudeva Swami sitting on his left and right. But anyway, so then when, you know, at one point Radhana Swami and Vasudeva Swami went and met with him. And when they met with him, they told him that he should stop. Now see, they said that, you know, Prabhupada told him to listen to them. So now, you know, they had the upper hand. So they said that, you know, like, this is what you should do, you know. And they told him that you, and they got him to write to his followers in New Zealand that they should go back to the Prabhupada. And he was kind of, you know, he was cornered, you know, he didn't have any argument. And he did it, you know, but right after that he became very angry. Anyway, so that is how New Vrindavan actually never turned around. But still some devotees, some of his staunch followers left New Vrindavan and went to him. He was not living in New Vrindavan. He was living in a place called Silent Mountain. The name was, I think the name was given by him of the place, the Silent Mountain. There he built a house, and there he lives with his dog. So, you know, like, so that is how it all ended. So New Vrindavan is now back into Prabhupada's fold. But it's not legally, you know, a part of his form. And, you know, Kirtan Raja, as I said, like, right after, you know, see how Krishna actually gets there. He had like, an incredible amount of money, you know, in some bank in Hong Kong. I don't know the exact amount, I don't worry about it, but it's a few million dollars. And it was, if you like, the custodian of that money was a Chinese disciple of Krishna. And right after that, this devotee, soon after that, this devotee became Krishna. Huh? So far he did not. Actually, it's very interesting, you know, the way things are happening in ISKCON, you know. I mean, I'm sure, you know, the future will, you know, like, record it, you know, with, as a very, very exciting development. And then somebody should actually write it down. The materials are there, and actually it's so exciting. See, I noticed usually when I give darshan, people tend to fall asleep. But today everyone is awake. Yeah. Why don't you take the telephone off of you? Oh, I see. Oh, that's your phone. No, it's alright. Darshan. It's alright. Don't... I mean, I thought... Well, isn't, doesn't it also convey a message that first to come is not important, the last to stay is your coming. That one who stays till the end, that's the message. And that's what actually is the most important. That there have been so many people using. Therefore, we should always pray to Krishna that we can always stay at the Vedasya. We can always stay in the Vedasya. Because Maya is so strong. Well, we have to see things as the Vaishnavas. You know, Vaishnava's activities are not ordinary. Man, like, they are just as Krishna's activities take place as pastime, and they are different devotees actually. Different devotees, Krishna play different roles. Similarly, in this pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada, different devotees are actually playing. But when the play is over, then we'll see them. Behind the backs, behind in the green room, we'll all meet. Right? And we'll say, oh, you played a very nice role. How come you got to what you call it? No, I was thinking you're becoming pretty famous. Pretty prominent. So, okay. Yeah, ladies were in both years. And if we have passion, and if you have to come down passion, the best thing is to keep it. That's the best way. Not fear making a holy place. Kids, then make them chant Hare Krishna. Anyway, I don't really know. Govinda Pan, do you have some company? Who is Jyotiman? Does Jyotiman? Or maybe, yeah, if Jyotiman is wearing it, then they learned it from him. For the boys also? So here is the pandit. Yeah, sure.
You still have a problem to go into yesterday and the And you know, I feel also that it's good for the
emotion. Oh, yeah.
Like,